college weekend and the NFL has begun. Mike Fisher, 105.3 The Fan, joins us here on ESPN Central Texas. Mike, the Zeke Elliott, we'll start with that. There's a game. There's a couple of comments from Stephen Jones and Amari Cooper that's got people scratching their head. Let's start with Zeke. Did either side win? Both sides win? Did Zeke get Todd Gurley money? Did the Cowboys have a player friend? What in the long run can you explain really in the end who got the better deal?
If you believe, as I do, that the Cowboys had a policy 4 years ago to not do this and then bent and bent and bent some more four times over the course of having let DeMarco Murray go, then you certainly recognize that the Cowboys gave in a lot. For the Cowboys to redo this contract at all constitutes a give-in. At the same time, Ezekiel Elliott and his side wants all those zeros and all those commas and all those headlines, and so they fit into all those headlines with all those zeros and all those commas. But really, this is a four-year, $50 million deal. Four-year, $49 million deal. That's the reality. The guaranteed money isn't likely to be 50. The guaranteed money is likely to be 28. Zeke's not going to be getting paid here when he's 32 years old, 8 years from now. That's ridiculous. And so the escapability, what we've said on this show before, the escape hatches, if you will, what actual NFL teams call protections, those come up after four more years. So I can live with this idea. Smokey, tell me if you can. 4 years and $50 million for the centerpiece of your team, a guy who is still just 24, a guy who's absolutely buoyant when it comes to the way the locker room feels about him, and then you cross your fingers a little bit behaviorally, I can live with all that.
I think we all can. Yeah. I just don't know why then he would have done that contract if that was something that he wanted to be the highest paid running back in the NFL, because usually that it's the guaranteed money, right?
Yeah, and his guaranteed money on paper is $50 million. That's gigantic. His new money per year, I believe, is $15 million. Well, that's gigantic. So it looks like it's the biggest contract in NFL history. But, you know, not even Todd Gurley's contract is actually what it looks like. And so I think a better question along those lines, Smokey, is this. Couldn't you just done this a month ago?
Well, was the month ago Fish them still not wanting to bend or break from their policy? And did they break from that policy you were talking about because Zeke is such a singular talent?
Yeah, I think one of the things that held this up, because on Saturday night, they thought they were done. And they went to bed thinking they were done, both sides. And then on Sunday, somebody got up and threw a monkey wrench into it. And I wonder if all along, maybe, Zeke's side didn't understand or buy into the 30% rule, which you guys have probably discussed this, that mm-hmm. the new contract, it can't increase or decrease by more than 30% from a year to a year to a year. Well, that's why it had to be so long-term. That's the only way to build that much money into a deal that increases by 30% and no more. In other words, if I pay you $10 million this year, I can pay you no more than $13 next year and no less than $7 next year. It's got to be a 30% or less movement. I don't think that Zeke's side either understood that fully or thought it had to be that way. But I think that was in there. I think behavioral questions came up. You know, are you sure that we want to do this? Are you sure that Zeke is headed in the right direction in that area? And that's a fair question, given his track record. I think we can all agree. And then there's the thing, Smokey, that Jerry told me the very first time I ever went into his office in the spring of 1990. Have I told you my Isaac Holt story before?
I don't think you've given us the Ike Holt story, no.
Okay, remember Isaac Holt, the cornerback yep. that came to Dallas in the Herschel Walker trade from Minnesota? And
yes.
And he was a starting caliber cornerback. And so I had just gotten the job with the Star-Telegram. I had just moved here. Didn't know where anything was. Drove to Valley Ranch and sat in the parking lot for 2 days. Because nobody was there. I mean, I didn't know. Nobody was there. There was nobody. What was somebody supposed to throw me a parade? I just was poking around and looking around. And after 2 days, here comes this figure out of the building walking towards my car. And it's Jerry Jones. And he goes, "What are you doing out here?" I think he thought maybe I was casing the joint so I could rob it. He didn't know who I was. And he ends up inviting me into his office for some sweet tea. And then he gets on the phone with Isaac Holt's agent and lets me listen. And they're kind of negotiating back. It was amazing. We just met. And they're going back and forth. And finally, after, you know, about 20 minutes, he hangs up the phone. And I said, "Mr. Jones, it sounded like you were pretty close on a deal for Isaac Holt." And he says, "Yeah, we are." I said, "Why didn't you just do it?" And he leans over the desk at me. We had just met, Smokey, and he says, "Mr. Mack, deadlines make deals." And I think it was the first time he ever said it to a reporter. It was the first time I'd ever heard it, period. And now, of course, it's part of the parlance, not only of the Cowboys, but of pro sports. Deadlines make deals. I think that's the biggest reason that this didn't get done a month ago or 2 months ago or 5 months ago, is that Tuesday was the day. It was a player's day off. There was a lot of elbow room to get work done. So there you are. By the way, Stephen Jones was just on my radio station in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan. He just said, "We'd like to get Dak Prescott done before Sunday." Talk about deadlines make deals. He said that at like 3:30, 3:25 or so on a Friday. The kickoff of Sunday's game is 3:25 on Sunday. I'm not very good at math, but there's a deadline. And you know what? One phone call could do it. One phone call could do it.
Now that Zeke is done, though, doesn't that kind of, you know, I know the pie is going away, but the pie slices were already pretty much made for the big three, weren't they? So they pretty much know outside of, you know, and I know there's details to be worked out inside the language of a contract, but they know what those slices are going to be, more or less, don't they, Mike?
Yeah, and that's why people's concerns over, you know, cap hell, it's always been nonsense, but it's more nonsense than ever now. They have budgeted, and by the way, not just Gary and Steven, but Steven's lieutenants have done a masterful job here. In fact, we broke the story of the fact that Jerry and Steven were going to be in New York City on that next morning, when at 6:15 Zeke's deal finally did get done on Wednesday morning. Jerry and Steven were in New York City doing the opening bell ringing on Wall Street because Jerry was over there making another $1 billion. Well, that means that Jerry and Steven didn't really run the negotiations of this deal. Steven's lieutenants did. Which I think is an important little glimpse into this organizational chart. Once again, everybody thinks, you know, when that Jerry is either too involved or not involved enough, when in fact it's somewhere right in the middle. And they got Ezekiel Elliott done the way they did. I'm starting to want to call the pie a cake, because you can stack a cake, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, yeah.
So the pie is actually a cake, and we're going to slice it up over here, and we're going to move some over there, and we can make it a little bit higher, and we can make it a little bit wider. You know, the new salary cap, there's going to be a new CBA and a new TV contract, and that new salary cap number is going to explode. And so, Paul, what you're saying is right. Is Amari Cooper going to be, you know, 17 or 19? Is Dak going to be 34 or 33? All of that's still going to fit within the pie, which is actually a cake.
I've only seen quotes, and I've only seen them, maybe even paraphrased, but I've seen what Stephen Jones is also, when he's been asked about Amari Cooper, and that was also one that was supposed to be next, and we've discussed that. But he's also made a couple of comments that seem to be either strange or I'm reading wrong into it, about there are things to work out. Is there something going on with Amari Cooper?
I don't know why. Steven's now done that three times this week. I don't know why he's saying it in such a mysterious way. I don't have the answer. I'll try to chase it down, and I'm sure I'll talk to Steven certainly on Sunday. I don't know if he's just suggesting simply that Amari wants too much. I don't think it has anything to do with Amari's foot. He practiced all week. Everything's fine there. So It might simply be more posturing, more negotiating in the media, making it sound like Amari Cooper's people, that his representative, is off his rocker. And so there's some mysterious problem, when the mysterious problem is, I bet, they're asking too much. That would be the logical answer for me.
Mike, with everything, the table they have set, they have all of what you would need. And, yes, there's going to be some positions that are not as strong as others. You cannot have 22 starters that are all pro, although they've locked a bunch of them up, my God, pro bowlers, et cetera. Where is the weakness in this team, if there is one? And there is, the kicking game, we don't know. Perhaps they feel good about the young safeties and then Heath. But if, in fact, this thing, other than a major injury, how could this go wrong?
All right, let's start at the top. Is there a possibility that they're going to get out-coached?
Yes.
Yeah, so whereas what's the likelihood that Sean Payton with the Saints is going to get out-coached? Not very.
Not many, yeah.
Yeah, so I would start there. And I'm not a Jason Garrett detractor. As you know, I've been friends with Jason Garrett for a quarter of a century. But he still hasn't dragged this team up and over the hump. And this is the final year of his contract. So that's probably, to paraphrase a Jason Garrett own quote, to use one of his own quotes, that'd be line one. don't get out coached. Number two, in the pecking order, is the quarterback good or great? Because if the quarterback's great, this team's going to be great. I think everything besides Dak Prescott is probably going to be end up being fine, but we don't know just how fine he's going to be. So there's that. And then the third thing, and you alluded to it, I'll take it a little bit deeper. Besides just Brett Maher, who is not consistent enough for my tastes, although maybe Dan Bailey all those years spoiled us. I think the whole the special teams coach is young. Coach O'Quinn's young. He hadn't done this for a very long time. The roster doesn't have a bunch of guys who are specialized in special teams. Kayvon Frazier, you kept him on the roster because he does. And then CJ, the cornerback, who can't really play cornerback, but he's great on special teams. And so I think there might be some vulnerability there. But bottom line, if the quarterback is good, this team's going to be good.
Mike, thank you, man. We're here. Games now. We have results coming up Sunday afternoon, Cowboys and Giants. Appreciate your time. Thanks, as always, Fish. I know it's been a fun week at the Star. Mike Fisher with us.